story for you, Josh.
Ramona Shelburne, Israel Gutierrez, Kevin Blackstone, Frank Isola. I've got a question for you guys about the NFL. Who is good? I'm just asking. Ooh. Has Ohio State stopped scoring on Michigan State yet? And will the NBA suspend LeBron James? Let's go.
Isaiah Stewart would be good in the NFL. Like that, you know.
Yeah.
Deep Stewart. The Detroit Lions need a little Isaiah Stewart right about now. We're going to get to that in a second. There's a line from 2, which I recognize is a 47-year-old movie, but history lesson, kids. And it's that if anything in life is certain, if history has taught us anything, it's that you can get to anybody. I paraphrase slightly, all right? Godfather 2, guys. I say 2. Godfather 2. Yep. You pick up what I'm putting down here. The NFL season has proved anybody can get to anybody, all right? 1 seeds, a 2 seed, and a 3 seed losing yesterday. The Vikings finally winning a game with a kick, and they beat Aaron Rodgers to do it because that interception was called back. The Titans, how they lost to Houston, 4 Tannehill interceptions. That's how their first loss in 2 months happened. And the Colts trashing the Bills. Buffalo right now just eking into the playoff. Indy still has more work to do. But Jonathan Taylor is a bulldozer. And I don't mean a heavy tractor. I mean he puts bulls to sleep. All right, 5 touchdowns for him. He may be leading the MVP vote right now. Frank, what just happened? And what is happening in the NFL this season?
Yeah, well, I'll give you another New York wise guy line. Nobody knows nothing. We really don't, especially in the AFC. It's completely wide open. I'm not going to get on the Green Bay Packers because, for me, Aaron Rodgers played well. Minnesota's a good team. But in the AFC, how is Tennessee losing to Houston, a team that hadn't scored a road touchdown in 4 games? And then you have Buffalo. They had their mulligan down in Jacksonville, losing in Jacksonville. You're down 31-7 at home, and we're supposed to take you seriously, and you can't stop anybody on the run. That was a surprising result.
Would you say that's the loss that the team lost most with? Buffalo losing that game the way they did to fall out of first in the division, Frank?
Well, think about what's gone on the past week, Tony. We're all on the New England bandwagon, and the team that we think they're competing against in the AFC East just has a game like that. They're still going to play each other 2 more times. That's exciting. But Buffalo didn't play well opening week against Pittsburgh, which is a so-so team. The Jacksonville loss and this one getting blown out like that, that's shocking.
Kevin Blackstone, I'll bring you in here. Who lost most by losing this week of all those teams we just mentioned?
Well, I'm kind of looking at the Titans, and we know what they're missing right now in their running game. We know that's a big part of them. And, yeah, the Bills are falling apart. But the thing about the Titans is that Frank just pointed out, they should not have lost that game. But they lost it, or they lost it all on their own. 4 interceptions, 3 in the fourth quarter, and as well as that muff punt, muff kick to go with it, all turned into 13 points against them. That is a horrible, horrible loss for that team. And now they've got to figure out how to regroup with their running game, how to regroup with their defense, how to regroup with their special teams, and how to right the ship so hopefully they can get to the end of the season and maybe get into the playoffs and maybe have a hope of getting Derrick Henry back for the playoffs.
All right. Did win every game for 2 months. They're in good position right now. But you believe Tennessee's got something to explain. Israel Gutierrez, who lost most in losing this week?
Well, I love the beauty of today's NFL where this parity is everywhere and it makes you think that anybody can win it. But you really got to go with what you trust. And like right now in the AFC, if I was to project, I'd say Chiefs and Patriots, and that's a couple of teams that we've trusted for a few years now, and I still think that's the case if you see them sort of rounding into form at this time of year. But in terms of damaging losses, well, yeah, I'm in agreement that it's with the Titans, and it's because you can't trust Ryan Tannehill. Look, when you have Derrick Henry out, you're going to have to rely on him, and against this Houston Texans team that they outgained 420-190, the one factor there that you can't allow to happen is your quarterback to throw 4 interceptions. And so, you know, you project going, even if they do get Derrick Henry back late in the season, they're going to have to win games in the playoffs relying on their quarterback, and I just don't feel like they can do that. You know, you look at that Packers and Minnesota game and say, hey, maybe the Packers have something to worry about. Not really. You've got Aaron Rodgers' toe hurting. You got Aaron Jones out, and you have a couple of defensive backs that sort of took away from their strength, one of their strengths, which is their defensive backfield in Minnesota, has a very powerful offense and sort of obviously won that game there. But the one team that I'm looking at and say I'm terribly concerned about me being able to progress through the playoffs is the Tennessee Titans.
And Ramona Shelburne.
I mean, I think it's the Bills in the sense that, like, we just keep waiting for the Bills to take off, and they keep letting us down, especially lately. First losing to Jacksonville, then this one. I mean, they'd only allowed 5 touchdowns to running backs all season, and then they give Jonathan Taylor 5 touchdowns in the day. I mean, that was, to me, a huge letdown, especially at home. And that's supposed to be a home field advantage. So it's the Bills in the sense that we just keep waiting for some team in the NFC, in the AFC to run away with, and Buffalo's not that team now.
Couple quick hits now. Let's go around the horn. Isola on the Green Bay interception being called back.
I was watching it live. I don't understand it. They say he didn't make a football move. You know what the football move was, Tony? Catching the ball. And then one grab. I don't understand. Why is it that the ground can't cause a fumble, but it can cause an incompletion? Explain
that. Kevin Blackstone?
The Packers got robbed in that game.
Yeah, I completely agree. I thought that was all the way a good play. And to see that overturned like it was, and the explanation just did not make sense.
Israel Gutierrez.
I've seen worse. Like, I've seen worse. And
okay.
I play when they came back from break on that. And I thought, you know what? I'm okay with that. Like, I have no issue.
You've seen worse? You know, that's how you're going to explain it to the team
before? Serious situations. Yeah.
Ramona Shelburne.
Like, I could absolutely justify that if I was the head of the officials.
I also think we're not giving the Vikings enough credit. Like, this is a pretty good team that they played. And I think if you're Green Bay, you just worry about the outcome here, which is they can't get to the bye week soon enough. And Aaron Rodgers got that toe injury. They're playing the Rams in next week. This is a team that cannot get to the bye week soon enough. And they could lose the next game, too, and now be 7-4.
Around the horn, Shelburne. Could Jonathan Taylor be the MVP of this season after the game he just had? And he's leading the league in rushing. He has been all season now.
Yeah. I mean, it can be, but you're talking about a team that's just barely got over 500. So I think it's a little too soon to say.
Gutierrez?
If this was Derrick Henry doing this, we'd be championing him as the front runner for MVP. That Colts offensive line has been spectacular, and Taylor deserves
it. Blackstone?
Absolutely.
Derrick Henry was like 300 yards ahead of Taylor when he got hurt. But I got to give Taylor credit. I mean, 5 TDs into the in one game yesterday, that's a hell of a mark.
And Isola.
Yeah, every time someone throws a no-hitter in baseball, we're like, all right, that happens a lot. 18 times guys have had 5 touchdowns in a game. Think about that. How incredible a performance that is. 4 rushing, 1 receiving. Why can't he be MVP? But he's a no-name. Factor that in as well.
Well, that's on you. That's on you people not talking him up enough. Does anybody know the last time a running back was MVP in the NFL? Was not Derrick Henry. Mm. Nobody. It's Adrian Peterson, the last running back to win MVP.
I didn't say that.
We'll move on. NBA now. Let's go right in. Every angle of LeBron James and Isaiah Stewart. The NBA is looking at every angle? Question mark? Are they really looking at this angle? The number of times Stewart broke away and tried to get at LeBron has been getting all the coverage, of course, and all the blood. He needed 6 stitches. But this angle here. LeBron, is this a closed fist? Is it an open fist? Is it somehow closed and open because it's the back of the fist? Pistons coach Dwayne Casey, by the way, said Stewart shouldn't get any more punishment. We'll see how that plays out. NBA's weighing that. And what to do with LeBron? Lakers at Knicks national TV tomorrow night, Ramona. What position is the NBA now in with LeBron James? Does he need to be suspended?
You know what? I've watched that a bunch, and I can argue that he should be suspended for a game. I also think he really had a hold of his hand there, and he's trying to free his hand. It's a cheap shot.
Mm-hmm.
Would he mean to throw the punch and hit him, connect him in the face? I'm not sure, but I do think he will get a game because Isaiah Stewart's going to get a lot of games. And I don't think it's fair to suspend the guy who retaliated but not suspend the guy who instigated it.
You called it a cheap shot, though, from LeBron James. Yeah. Israel, you see that as a cheap shot?
You can't sort of legislate intent. You can't, he's going to tell you he didn't mean to do it, and everybody's going to say, well, the video seems like you meant to do it. And so you can't do that. And so by the letter of the law, you basically have to go by the rule, the contact above, you know, whether it be unnecessary and flagrant or what have you. He got ejected for that. He's going to get penalized for that with a fine. He might get another fine for what it created, maybe even for the blood. But I could totally understand, and I'm not here to be the guy that, oh, LeBron shouldn't be suspended. I can totally understand if the league said, no, these are the punishments for his act. if Isaiah Stewart had not been bloodied, which is not really something that LeBron, again, you can say did intentionally. If he had not reacted the way he reacted, it might not be this severe situation where you say, oh, he must get suspended. So I think Isaiah Stewart, which another thing he didn't actually think of, if he had actually gotten to LeBron and put hands on LeBron, that is like the legacy for Isaiah Stewart. That is something you do not want to be remembered for. This almost inciting a riot is bad enough. He didn't want, literally, to get his hands on LeBron James.
Kevin Blackstone, you just heard Israel say, I'm not going to be the one to say LeBron deserves no punishment, but he just said LeBron deserves no suspension. Where are you on this?
Well, I mean, I think the question is, do people want LeBron suspended because they want to prove something about the league, right? It's like, if people in the media don't say that LeBron should be suspended, then we're in the bag with the NBA to back up LeBron. And people who say that he should be suspended, oh, those are the tough people in the media who are calling out the NBA as being having a double standard. There's really no double standard for LeBron, given how long he's played in this league, and you know his history. What I'm hoping will happen is, maybe give him a game, but make sure that both of these guys are back when they play on Sunday so that Isaiah Stewart can hopefully quickly correct the stain on his resume that's in front of everybody now and give them an opportunity to shake hands again and move on with the game.
Listen to you in the spirit of Thanksgiving.
Concerned about, absolutely.
I got a lot of people shaking their head no that the NBA go ahead, Frank.
Why not?
Answer Kevin's question there.
Couple of things. Isaiah Stewart, growing up in Rochester, New York, was a boxer and a basketball player. No one wants a piece of Isaiah Stewart. Remember that. Now, LeBron has played over 50,000 minutes in his career. We have a big sample size. He is not a dirty player. But in context, they had just lost two games on the road trip. And in that moment, they're down 12. I thought it was a little too aggressive. I think he should be suspended a game. And remember this. There were years ago, Kobe Bryant on a Sunday game against the San Antonio Spurs took a shot, raked down on Manu Ginobili's face after shooting the ball. They suspended him. 2 days later, guess who the Lakers are playing at Madison Square Garden? The New York Knicks. And people at the Garden were miserable because they wanted to see Kobe Bryant. I have a funny feeling people are going to be miserable tomorrow because they want to see LeBron, and I'm not so sure he's going to be there.
Shelburne on LeBron suspended for a national TV game and then on the Blackstone idea to have everybody come together Thanksgiving weekend Sunday for when these teams come back and meet each other.
Look, that's a nice idea, Kev, but I was watching Isaiah Stewart. He was just out of control. And to be honest, watching that reaction was hard to watch. It was ugly to watch. And all those the security guards, the assistant coaches who he just bowled over, they could have got hurt. I mean, you know, LeBron's being protected. Everybody protected LeBron at all costs, but he ran over about six people on one of those charges. That was not safe.
One more look at it. What was Russell Westbrook doing fighting John L. Sullivan in the middle of it? I mean, he's doing the wrestling. Russell Westbrook, put him up. But then also, back to the football field, Sunday night game, after the Justin Herbert scramble, Cam Hayward bringing him down, and there was the excuse me contact here. Was that a punch? Should that be a suspension?
Whoa.
So the NFL is taunting for pointing and giving flags for pointing, but something like that flies in a game and everybody moves on. NFL said they won't suspend Hayward. We'll take a break here.
LeBron five until next. They need a commissioner
right
of common
sense. Right after the Chargers offensive lineman nailed the guy on the interception return.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guarantee Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good!
Good. The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and tequila season.
Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Welcome back to Around the Horn, coming to you from the Heineken River Deck at Pier 17.
Kansas City over Dallas in the game that turned out not to be about Mahomes and Prescott playing brilliantly, and not about the offenses at all, but about the defenses. Chris Jones is a mastodon. Whether Kansas City is figuring things out or just hitting opponents at the right time, Dallas, no Cooper, and then no Lamb, no Tyron Smith, and no touchdowns. Frank, number one takeaway?
Yeah, you know, I get it. Dak Prescott was sacked five times, two interceptions, one fumble loss. Here's the thing about the Cowboys. They lead the league in scoring, yet they don't get into the end zone against Denver until they're down 30-0, and then they don't even score a touchdown yesterday. So everyone wants to believe in the Cowboys, but in moments like this against a team that I believe is definitely a Super Bowl contender, what do? Nothing.
You think Dallas is fool's gold? I don't want to put words in your mouth, but it sounds like you're going there.
I believe that Dak Prescott is good enough to win a Super Bowl, but I go back to that game a few years ago against the Eagles on the road, didn't do anything. Look at this game. He needs to play better in moments like this.
Kevin, you saw no Amari Cooper. You saw no CeeDee Lamb for the majority of that game. Does Dak have an explanation here?
He has a little bit of one, but not a whole lot. I mean, Frank's absolutely right. I mean, they've all of a sudden had trouble getting into the end zone. But I'm looking at Kansas City and the fact that they've gone from being a video game offense to winning with a running game and winning with a defense. How did that happen? Did not see that coming.
Israel Gutierrez.
Well, for Dak to be as great as he can be, he needs a running game. They did not have a running game yesterday, and maybe that was because the Chiefs could sort of focus on it with those receivers out.
Yeah.
But in that scenario, the Chiefs' defensive backs still have to be great, and they were. Like, there were times you just look downfield, and I don't know if the Cowboys weren't running combo routes or what, but everybody's covered, and so I can't really put it on Dak necessarily. I think the Chiefs defensively are just getting good at just the right time.
And Ramona Shelburne.
Yeah, Chris Jones, 3.5 sacks, forced a fumble, recovered a fumble, deflected. I mean, he was all over the place. Melvin Ingram's been a great trade for them. I thought the Chiefs' defense won them that game. And, you know, their offense, Pat Mahomes has thrown 5.4 yards a throw. And that's in the air. That's not Pat Mahomes. But they won the game, and I don't think they've even played their best football yet. And I think in the AFC, Israel, you said you trust them. I trust them, maybe Baltimore. They look like still the team in the AFC.
And the Patriots.
All right, but you're still thinking something's not right with them offensively when you're looking at Mahomes racking up all the yards, and he does after the catch, and two more turnovers yesterday.
Yeah.
They have the bye week coming up, see what they do with the 2 weeks off. We'll move on. College football, how Ohio State and how high Ohio State moves up. Ooh. And who takes Oregon's space in the top four? Those are the questions after this weekend. But I'm still dying looking at Michigan State's live posting the game. They did the pregame. Dogs coming. Then 2 hours later, they said we had an interception. And then a bit after that, they said we had a touchdown. That's all that happened in this game, I think. We did a story last week about the 19-point spread. Only Israel Gutierrez said, that's too low. You were absolutely right. Here's all your points, Israel. Man. Did C.J. Stroud win the Heisman before half? Did Mel Tucker sign that $95 million extension? It was 56-7, Israel. What just happened, and what is happening?
I mean, that was a mismatch there. That's the best passing offense in Michigan State. Their passing defense was not ready, which is why I thought they would cover. I didn't think they would do that. Most shocking part to me, though, was not that the Gators fired Dan Mullen. It's that the fall from, you know, a two-point conversion against Alabama to this being fired in season is quite shocking. SEC is where you want to be. Dan Mullen just worked his way out.
Mona Shelburne.
Look, as a lone representative from the left coast out here, I'm going to say a hymn for the Oregon Ducks. They are not the only Pac-12 team that has had a game like that in Utah. Yeah. But it was quite the fall, and I shouldn't be talking because my Stanford Cardinals
was
lost.
That was Duck Hunt this
week. It's just a tough week out here.
Yes, and it is usually in November. Frank Isola, how about you?
Yeah, the two leagues where the coaches should rent and not buy is the Premier League in England and the SEC in football. It's ridiculous. They're in the SEC title game. The next year, the guy's out. Ohio State, they're in a different class than everybody else in the Big Ten. But what I loved about Oregon losing, it's that other team in Ohio. It was good for them. I want Cincinnati in that Final Four.
Kevin Blackstone.
Well, Cincinnati should be in. Is there any doubt after what they did to a good SMU football team? Absolutely plastered them three quarters in. They have a clean record. They should easily move into the four slot, and everything should
should. Do you believe they will?
Absolutely they will.
You believe in the committee.
I believe in the committee.
Man, you've got,
they cannot go
blind. You've got the NBA bringing all parties back on Sunday to Kumbaya. You've got the committee getting this right. This is an incredible. I love how thankful you are, Kevin Blackstone, and how optimistic you are. Ramona Shelburne, Frank Isola, I'm thankful for you. This is our last show of the week, our only show of the week. Stick around. Maybe we'll see you at the end of the show.
I'll wear the black shirt for you, Tony.
I love the way you look today, Ramona. I love the way everybody looks today. Israel Gutierrez and Kevin Blackstone. Showdown, 2 minutes.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details. This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Colt McCoy has 4 wins since 2012. He has 2 this month, filling in for Kyler Murray. Arizona gets the win over Seattle for the Seahawks. Pete Carroll didn't say anything when he got to the mic, and he walked off mid-answer to a question. Israel, could it be this is the beginning of the end of the Pete Carroll Seahawks?
I think it's more of the end of the end, actually. This is a team that is 1-4 at home now, and I don't think that's the 12th man's fault. You remember when they used to be so dominant at home? This is a guy who seems like he's frustrated, seems like he's over it, and has the perfect soundbite of I'm done.
Kevin Blackstone?
Yeah, I mean, they've lost 5 of their last 6. They don't have a hope. They don't have any prayer this year. Best players were injured, got them off to a bad start. But let's not write them off just after losing to the best team in the NFL, which is your 9-2 Arizona Cardinals.
The Colt McCoy-led Arizona Cardinals at this moment.
2-1. Yeah.
Wow, 2 wins this month. 4 in the last 9 seasons. We'll move on. Washington Spirit thrilling championship. Game-winning, league-winning goal came in extra time. Trinity Rodman to Kelly O'Hara's head. O'Hara buries it. And then Aubrey Bledsoe saving the last gasp as Chicago tried for the miracle. Kevin, how will you remember Washington's win?
Oh, my goodness. After all that this team has been through this year, you know about it, the coach getting fired because of the allegations of harassment, and this team stuck together, and they pulled out that W. And Kelly O'Hara, by the way, first year here, 33 years old, way to go.
Israel?
That's the lead right there. But Trinity Rodman, 19 years old, amazing all year long with that pass for the win. She's going to be a superstar. And what a way to show out right there with the game winning
assist. Rookie of the year. But Washington gets the championship on the pitch. They get it right here on Around the Horn. Kevin Black.
Very nice championship back here in D.C., the District of Champions. And also want to give a shout-out to another women's team, the field hockey team at Northwestern University, who took down Liberty after taking down Harvard. Take that, Pablo Torre, for the national championship. And one reminder for you this holiday, please make your own cranberry sauce. It's not that hard. A cup of sugar, 12 ounces of fresh cranberries, a half a cup of orange juice, a half a cup of water, boil it
down. You don't like the can.
Good.
You don't like the ridges in the cranberries?
No.
I love the can. Give me the can.
You know, Kevin, he eats oysters and clams instead of turkey
Thanksgiving.
Like the traditional way. Have a great one.